So if you remember, our reading was from Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. And I bet you didn't expect me talking about underwear in church this morning, did you? But as I reflect on the passage for today, I think the metaphor becomes even more amazing and powerful. Now, if you're using a different Bible translation, you may not have the word loincloth. Some translations say belt, sash, or even shorts. And Jeremiah was a priest, and priests wore linen loincloths, a piece of cloth wrapped around the waist, covering from the hips to the thighs, but did not go between the legs. And it was not any old linen, it was fine linen. Linen is breathable, so it doesn't make you sweaty, and priests weren't allowed to wear anything that could make them sweat while on duty in the inner courtyard or temple. So Jeremiah has a nice new linen loincloth, and God tells him to be careful not to get it wet. Then God tells him to go and hide it in a hole or crack in the rocks, and it's there for a long time. I'm guessing that in that time, it probably would have got at least a bit damp, and when he goes to retrieve it, it's rotting, falling apart, good for nothing. Then God says something amazing. As a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. They were to be my people, my pride, my glory, and honour to my name. Let that sink in a minute. As a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me. A loincloth. Not a coat that you take off frequently or any other piece of clothing. A loincloth worn next to the skin. That is how close God wants us to be to him. When I was expecting our boys, medical advice was that you should have skin-to-skin contact with your baby as soon as possible after delivery, as it helps to build a bond. God wants a close bond with us, but unlike children who should become more and more independent as they grow up, Christians should realise their dependency on God more and more as they mature in faith. Our passage is not an isolated picture of intimacy in the Bible. Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, "Serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him." And in chapter 10, verses 20 to 21, "You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise." To fear God means to be in awe of him, not frightened. And after Moses, Joshua. Joshua 23, verses 8 to 13. "Rather cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done until now. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of those nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes. And you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you." The word translated cling in all of these verses is the same word that's translated join in Genesis 2, verse 24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. The word doesn't just mean hold on to. It means cleave to, hold fast to, stick to, join together. Not like a piece of cling film that can just be peeled off. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't just want us to know he's there. He doesn't just want us to spend time with him or to serve him. He wants the closest possible relationship with us, an intimate covenant relationship where both sides are committed to each other. He wants us to be one with him. Now, a loose loincloth is not going to do the job, is it? At best, it will slip down and not properly cover the parts that are supposed to be covered. At worst, it will fall off. They didn't have trousers in those days, so it'd be more embarrassing than just having it slip down inside your trousers and be on the floor in front of everybody. If we are to be God's loincloth, his people, his pride and glory, honouring to him, we need to cling to him. Israel and Judah didn't. They did what Joshua said in verse 12. They turned away from God and clung to the customs of the nations around them and intermarried with them. And those nations did indeed become a snare and a trap to them. And they were exiled from the promised land. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that time and time again, the people turn away from God, either deliberately or through drifting, a lack of intentionality. They stopped putting any effort into the relationship. And it doesn't go well for them. And God pleads with them to come back like a husband who's still deeply in love with his unfaithful wife. In fact, Israel and Judah hadn't just fallen off the waste. They were actively burying themselves into a crack or a hole in the rocks, away from God's light. Their intimacy with the world around them, their intimacy was with the world around them, and they were getting dirtier and dirtier, less and less godly, more and more ruined. God said they would become not just unfit for purpose, they would be good for nothing. The image of intimacy is not restricted to the Old Testament. Jesus, who is God, said in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 11, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." I was astounded when I read this and realized it said exactly the same thing as our passage in Jeremiah. Not a loincloth this time, but being joined into one organism, a vine. "Remain in me," or as some translations put, "abide in me," has the same meaning as the definitions of cling to that we looked at earlier. Not exactly the same word, because the New Testament is Greek and the Old Testament is Hebrew, but the same meaning. Cling to me, be joined to me, stay in me in order to fulfill your purpose. You bring glory to God when you are joined to me. You can't fulfill your purpose if you're separated from me. We were made for Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "Everything was created through him and for him." We were made for a close relationship with God. And Jesus made that possible. A few verses later, we read, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift away. Continue to believe. We need to be intentional about our relationship with Jesus. As Joshua said, be very careful to love the Lord your God." So picture yourself as a loincloth. Where are you? What condition are you in? Are you tightly wrapped around the waist, knotted and secure? Have you come a bit loose, slipping a little bit? Maybe fallen to the knees and need hoisting back up and retying? Are you hanging on by a thread? On the floor? Buried in a hole somewhere? Not sure how to get out of the dark and dirt? Maybe there's not much left of you. There's no mess too big for God to deal with and no distance too great for God to bridge. If you come back to God, he can make you holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Like in a marriage, intimacy needs to be worked at and maintained. We promise to love each other through all circumstances. If we only spend time together on our wedding anniversaries or when we feel like it, it won't be much of a relationship, will it? And like in marriage, lost intimacy can be regained. I'm not talking about feelings, though that can happen too. I mean closeness. So how do we cultivate or maintain intimacy with God? What does intimacy with God look like? I don't claim to be great at this, but we can look at what the Bible says. First up, let's be clear. It's not all on us. It's not a one-way relationship, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us. God's done the big job on the cross, as we've already read, but it's up to us to respond. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Jesus is waiting for us. It's up to us to let him into our lives, to welcome the friendship, to share our life with him as he shares his life with us. Next, we need to be humble. We need to be honest with God and ourselves about where we are, what condition we're in, where our priorities are. James 4, verses 7 to 10 says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." We need to actively come to God, turning away from old habits and distractions, and God will come close to us. As we read earlier, Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." That suggests intentionality, doesn't it? Continually choosing to remain in Jesus, actively pursuing relationship with him. He didn't leave it there, though. He gave us some pointers for how to remain in him. In John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. That means we need to know what Jesus says, doesn't it? We need to be reading the Bible regularly with the help of the Holy Spirit to know what Jesus is saying, for his words to remain in us. Mike mentioned meditation last week, which is more than just reading, it's spending time with it, reflecting, letting the words sink in. I find if I read a verse just once, it doesn't stick in my head. I have to read it multiple times for it to even start to go in. I want to try meditating more. But Jesus doesn't only speak through the Bible. That's the main way, but not the only way. And we need to spend time with him regularly in prayer, in conversation, listening as well as speaking. You may ask suggests an expectation of conversation. Verses 9 to 10, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. When we know what Jesus says, we need to act on it. This isn't like obedience to a boss or a master. Jesus goes on to say in verses 14 to 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told me. You are my friends if you do what I command. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. Loving each other is a sign that we remain in Jesus. You can read more about that in 1 John chapter 4. A few months ago, Phil and I went to a marriage conference. You may be aware of current advice, have a regular date night, time for just the two of you. And that's great advice for any marriage. Care for the family recommend daily connection points, chat, checking in with each other, weekly longer time together, and an annual night away together, or home without the kids, if you can. And these are times that are prioritised and protected. And that's reasonable advice for our relationship with God too. Maybe substitute the night away for a retreat of some sort if you find retreats helpful. But our relationship with God should be even more intimate than marriage. We're not physically joined to our spouses most of the time. We're a good team, hopefully. But I don't go to Phil's other workplace with him. There are hours in the day when we're not in the same room. We can message each other, but there's no continuous connection. But when we've given our lives to Jesus, he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says we are to remain in him. That's together all the time. Working together, relaxing together, shopping together, socializing together, exercising together. How, when, and where you pray and read the Bible will be different for everyone. And there are loads of tools available to help you. What works for one person may not work so well for someone else. But I would encourage you, don't just pick one. Don't just decide, right, I'm going to do this. Or don't carry on the same way as you always have done. But ask God, God, how can I improve my intimacy with you? You know me best. So how can I connect with you? What does clinging to you look like for me? Intimacy also needs protecting. If we believe that we could never possibly have an affair, then our marriage is in danger. We need to put boundaries in place to protect our marriages. we also need boundaries in place to protect our relationship with God. What can I do to stop myself from drifting away? What are the temptations or distractions I know I could easily fall for that would draw me away? What are the things that could crowd in and squeeze God out, maybe without me realizing, if I'm not careful? Samuel 12, verses 20 to 24 say, make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshipping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They're totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people because that would dishonor his great name, for it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. But be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. If we're not clinging tightly, we're not fulfilling our purpose, and we're missing out on the joy that Jesus offers. The marriage conference also said that marriage is not supposed to be done without support, and neither is our relationship with God supposed to be done without support. It was hinted at earlier in John 15. Jesus lives in all of us who've chosen him, but we are also called to be his body. Romans 12, verses 4 to 5 say, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Body parts that have been separated from the body don't work very well, and neither can we function properly if we're distant from each other. We need to support and encourage each other in our relationships with God, which means that we also need to spend time together and be humble and open with each other about our relationships with God. So if you're struggling, tell someone. If you've got questions, ask someone. If you need prayer, ask someone. It doesn't have to be a minister or a leader. It just needs to be a believer. And if you've discovered something really helpful in your walk with Jesus, share it. We're all here for each other. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:16 that Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We each have responsibility for our individual relationships with God. We also have a responsibility to help each other. And we have a collective relationship with God too. When the Bible talks about God's relationship with us, it's often referring to between God and his people rather than with individuals. In Jeremiah, the nations of Judah and Israel were the loincloth. The New Testament talks about the church being Jesus' bride. Ephesians 5:31-32. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So where are we as a loincloth? Where am I? Where are you? Where do you want to be? Be honest with God. And as a church, how well are we clinging to Jesus? How can we improve our collective intimacy with him as a body of believers? As a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. Serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him. Amen.